helping Eitan maintain a wide smile. If you are off duty for now, get some rest or work on your skills. We didn't build this gigantic egg so that we would scramble away from it and not use the bonus skill experience, right? Was that an attempt at an egg pun? Disgusting, Joe whispered and shook his head. Stick to fighting and administration. Your jokes are foul. You could have hatched all sorts of better yolks than that. Alexis slapped him, followed closely by Poppy. You stop that right now, Poppy hissed at him, massaging throbbing ears.
Seriously,
Alexis chimed in.
That was terrible.
Jackson raised a hand. I thought Joe made a few good points.
Good luck, everyone, Eitan was finishing up. Stay safe tomorrow. Make sure to watch your health, mana, and stamina. Don't die due to negligence, or I'll hear about it and we'll have some classes on situational awareness. Have fun.
Some confused cheering followed his statements, but the general consensus was that there was going to be a battle and they should do their best without dying. Fairly standard. Huge groups of people shrugged at the same time. Eitan was certainly correct about one thing. Reinforcements were arriving. The town was soon flooded by people they didn't know, and then the kingdom's army began to arrive along with the offensive-capable members of the Mage's College. In Joe's mind, this was shaping up to be an amazing battle. Apparently, the king wouldn't arrive until later in the actual battle. He had the same issue as the queen. When he moved, everyone would be forced to hold their breath in terror. Apparently, he had an impossible-to-get fifth-tier class that had insane requirements. Someone had been told he was a battle tyrant, and people just accepted that since it was the only rumor that seemed to fit the feeling the monarchs exuded. With the addition of the army and mages, there was no longer space inside of the town, and less effective defenses were quickly erected outside of the walls of the town. No one who was shuffled into this area was happy with their new assignment. All too soon, it was time to sleep. Then it was their shift for guard duty. Sleep again, and the day of the battle had arrived. As the first sliver of sunlight crested the horizon, a single wolf howl shattered the still air. That howl was joined by another and another, until there were so many wolfmen howling that the buildings around town began to vibrate. Then, continuing to howl, the wolfman army in the distance began to march together, and the ground started to shake as hard as the air. Chapter 46.
Brace yourselves! Prepare to launch artillery spells! Archers forward!
This command was one that Joe had been waiting for because it was his guild's archers that were about to fire. He, along with a good chunk of the guild officers, was standing on the walls to watch the opening salvo. Joe watched as quivers were rushed forward and handed off to the waiting archers. The commanding voice rang out once again.
Use the black arrows first and as often as possible. They have temporary bonus effects. 3, 2, 1, fire! Fire at will!
The first volley flew away, arching into the air and falling as a black cloud. Not a single arrow missed. Not due to any great accuracy, simply due to how densely packed the wolfman packs were clustered. The volley worked excellently, because as the arrows came down, spikes shot up. At the speed the wolfmen were charging, it had the same effect on their ranks as a cavalry charge. That is, the first rank stopped dead as the trailing wolfmen hit them, driving them harder into the spikes that only lasted a second. Those wolfmen took a bit of damage, but the really helpful portion was that the line was broken. After that, the wolfmen were staggered and easier to counter as they got closer. Joe received a notification icon to tell him about earned experience and grinned. He ignored it for now, and watched with hungry eyes as more and more of his ensorcelled arrows were used. Spells were being launched as the wolfmen came within 50 yards of the wall, and more empty pockets were appearing in the wave of onrushing animalistic beings with each blast. The wolfmen were continuing to howl, full of a deep keening that seemed to be making them more powerful as the sound continued. Why don't we get a racial buff? He snorted as the first of the wolfmen reached the wall. They were apparently expecting to be able to sink their claws into the stone of the wall and climb it because they barely slowed down as they jumped and scrabbled to find purchase. Instead of racing upward, they slammed into the black and twisted wall and fell with a yelp. Joe chuckled at the shocked looks on their elongated faces. Unfortunately, this only slowed them slightly, as there were plenty of cracks that the wolfmen could work their hands and claws into. They were able to scale the wall, just not as swiftly as they wanted. Most importantly, not fast enough for the humans to be overrun at the start of the battle. Seeing an opportunity, Joe used his manipulation to create a thin lattice of shadows that looked very similar to the regular cracks the wolfmen used to climb. Unlike actual cracks, where a handhold was expected, behind these was only a dense wall. Claws snapped, and wolfmen fell with surprised howls as they bounced off the unexpectedly smooth surface. Joe was hoping for the beastmen to take some damage from falling, but the creatures below caught their falling brethren.
"Hey, bub, keep doing what you're doing."
A burly man stepped forward with a barrel on his shoulder, tossing it down at the thickly clustered beasts. There was an oily rag on the barrel that was burning, and Joe was able to witness the use of the largest Molotov cocktail that a human had ever been able to throw. It hit the group and shattered, whooshing into a cracking inferno that stank of burnt hair and skin.
"All right, a few more like that and I'm good."
"Thanks." Joe looked down the wall and saw that scenes like this were playing out all over the place. Oil being spilled, poison being dumped, and channeled spells all creating huge swaths of wolfman corpses. Joe decided to get off the wall at that point and get back to his team. This turned out to be a great idea, enough so that he was shocked that his luck stat didn't skyrocket, since right after he was back on the ground, the wolfman shaman counteracted against the defenders. It became obvious why the wolfmen didn't seem to mind their losses. An utterly devastating spell was unleashed that used the collective death energy of the wolfmen that had fallen thus far, and a thin scythe of energy slashed over the battlements in a straight line. Anyone caught in it was sliced in half through whatever protections they may have had.
"What the?"
Joe froze in place as pandemonium erupted around him. Dozens and dozens of wolfmen poured over the top of the wall.
"Get some defenders up there, now!"
Aten roared over the din. He had come down a bit before Joe had, luckily for the guild.
"If you lost your squad leader, the assistant leader takes over. Get moving!"
Not giving anyone a chance to follow his orders, Aten sprang into action by himself. A sickly green ring of light shot out from him, coating everyone in his guild. A quarter second later, the light had returned to him, now bright orange. Everyone the light had touched was moving slowly or not at all in the cases of the heavily armored. Aten shot up the stairs at far above human speeds and began holding off the entire waves of beasts by himself. For 55 seconds, he pushed back the entirety of the invading group, killing dozens of beastmen and shrugging off blows as though they hadn't landed. He jumped backward over the stone wall, landing solidly on his feet in the courtyard just as the orange light faded from him.
"What are you all standing around staring at? Go, go, go!"
Aten shouted at the assembled humans.
"Hey, Alexis!"
Joe had to almost shout at her to be heard over the sounds of combat restarting.
"You're promoted! You are second in command! Sorry, I didn't know it was a thing."
"Make it retroactive so I get back pay and I accept,"
she shouted back as they moved into position.
"Better watch out, Bard."
Joe got out as they ran to return to the battlements.
"Give her an inch and she takes a mile."
"He's given me more than an inch, Joe,"
Alexis called back thoughtlessly, face instantly going crimson as she realized what she had said.
"Oh my gosh."
"Oh really?"
Poppy started to make a joke at their expense, but his levity failed as more of the wolfmen hopped over the wall. They were almost to the top of the stairs, but the trickle of opponents had become a flood. Poppy's rapier was suddenly in his hand, the tip slicing through the air into a neck to claim the first kill for the party. Joe stumbled as a huge paw slammed into him, his shell working overtime to keep him alive. Jackson stepped under the extended limb and released a flurry of blows into the scout, moving back and snapping his fingers after a moment. Sickening snaps filled the air as the wolfman was twisted. He crumpled, blood leaking from multiple wounds where bones had pierced the skin.
"Still bothers me a bit to be using my craft to hurt instead of heal," Jackson sighed as he stomped on the wolfman's head to finish him off. "Ah, such is life," quoth the raven.
"What the abyss, Jackson?"
Alexis was firing her crossbows as fast as she could, and the wolfmen she hit tended to drop to the ground, twitching, spasms locking up their muscles and making them easy targets for others. A volley of black arrows screamed over the group as the guild worked to regain control of their defenses. A series of pained howls drifted over the walls as those arrows found their marks, creating secondary damage as their shadows drove spikes into allies.
"Move!" was all Joe heard before he was shoved to the side. A massively armored man holding two shields got in front of his group, crouching into a starting position for runners, and bellowed, "Juggernauts sprint!"
"Is that Dylan?" Joe watched as his old teammate began to lumber forward, picking up speed until he was moving far faster than someone carrying that much weight should be able to. He held his shields as a wedge and let the wolfmen in his path bounce off of him. The ones he hit were either thrown off the wall the way they had come or tossed into the courtyard where they were torn apart by the defending humans. Dylan vanished around the bend, barely able to make the turn with his insane momentum. Their section of the wall was not clear, but they had a far more likely chance of retaking it now. Bard's axes were whirling in time with the continuous howl, and a chant was spilling from his lips as he methodically chopped at the wolfmen in his way. Joe felt energized, his stamina and mana returning faster than it should have. He used the boost and the sudden loss of pressure from his enemies to start shifting the shadows on the exterior of the wall. Shadows of thorns grew from the wall, foot-long spikes covered in smaller spikes to prevent grasping them. Spikes were easier for him, as they were the most common direct damage-dealing magic he had used while in the game. With the sacrifice of the majority of his mana, he solidified the shadows in the area, creating a downward-facing wall of barbed spikes that the wolfmen unknowingly threw themselves into. They had appeared so suddenly that dozens of the climbing wolfmen had skewered themselves and fallen, some of them taking fatal damage from the fall this time around. Joe dropped to the ground, gasping as his body worked overtime to restore his drained mana. He shouted to the others about the spiky defenses he had added, and Alexis perked up. She pulled a large bottle out of her bag and popped the cork, drizzling the poison over the edge of the wall without looking until it had emptied. A few drops landed in the eyes of wolfmen that were looking upward, but the spikes, for about 7 feet, now had poison glistening along their barbs. The increased difficulty of climbing the wall deterred a few of the attackers, but others were not stopped and used blunt weapons to start smashing the spikes out of the way. Looking around the battlements, it was easy to see that breaches had occurred all over the place. They weren't the first to clear off their spot, but they also weren't the last. Alexis was now firing blindly over the wall, mumbling about skill increases with her crossbow, and chuckling at the loophole she had found to do it instead of learning to be accurate. Joe was still recovering, but he got to his feet just as his instincts screamed at him about something hidden. His eyes snapped to the side, locking onto a wolfman a good distance from the wall that had a ball of gray, misty light forming above him. There were other wolfmen surrounding him, and apparently channeling mana into the spell. But that one was the key. Joe just knew it.
"Listen up! We have a new target. That nasty scythe spell is building up again, and I've got the caster in my sights. I need ideas on how we can take him down at range, and I need him now."
"Do we have anyone that could throw me at them?" Jackson intently inquired. "If I could just get close enough."
"I've got an idea!"
Bard barked, interrupting the inane line of reasoning from the monk.
We need a really good archer. Lexi, you got that special arrow ready to go?
You want to use that now? This early in the battle?
Alexis seemed shocked for a moment, but nodded as he stared into her eyes.
All right, but it can't be me. I'm still only in the beginner ranks for crossbows, and we need someone with a bow.
Joe knew the perfect guy. If Dylan had been here, then Chad was sure to be nearby as well. Cupping his hands, he yelled over the wall at the defenders below.
Chad! Chad! Get over here, right now!
His voice was entirely lost in the cacophony of noise that was suffusing the air, so Bard tapped on the arm and stood forward. He grunted, pointed at his neck, and bellowed,
Chad! Get your butt over here!
His voice, enhanced by magic, echoed like thunder around the enclosed space of the town. A few fights stuttered, allowing the more experienced person in each battle to quickly gain the upper hand or paw in many cases. Joe saw a familiar face running up the stairs to them, though he was impressed by the archer's new look. Chad was wearing light armor, a thin-winged helmet framing his face. His bow had blades at each end and was glowing slightly. Seeing Joe, a tired smile appeared on his face.
Hey, man. Good to see you. What's going on? And please tell me it was worth abandoning my post, or I am going to get a lot of grief later.
I've got a target for you. It's the Wolfie casting that nasty spell that almost got us overrun. Big Gray Scythe?
Joe saw the recognition on Chad's face and continued.
We apparently have a special arrow to take him out, but need someone that can make the shot. Are you our guy for this?
Let's see the arrow.
Chad continued speaking as Alexis pulled out the projectile.
I specialized as a royal sniper. Tiona felt bad about leaving the group, so she hooked us up with some great contacts. Apparently, I only show promise as a journeyman archer, but they still took me in.
Joe chuckled at that. It was unsurprising that the best snipers of the kingdom had high requirements. Alexis handed over a very strange arrow. The tip was beveled, the shaft was slightly corkscrewed, and there were no feathers on it. Joe had the feeling that it had been designed as a bolt for a crossbow, but Chad didn't seem to mind it.
What effects are we looking at on this thing?
It has a strange flight path. Every 10 feet it will have drifted a half foot to the right, but the corkscrew shape keeps it floating high. That means it'll drop only a half foot per 20 feet, so don't aim as high as you would with a normal arrow. When it hits, it'll go through magical protections like they aren't there unless they have anti-arrow wards specifically.
Alexis took a deep breath and continued.
I call this a screaming sorcerer because it'll be loud as it flies. The arrow should arrive before the noise does, and it has a silencing component as well as poison that applies a mana burn effect. If this hits a mage that is currently casting a spell, I highly doubt they'll survive it.
Wow. I bet the guild will want these if I'm able to make this shot.
Chad tested the weight, felt the wind, and got into position.
How many do you have?
One.
Alexis shook her head at his incredulous look.
It cost me about 15 gold to design and make it.
Chad looked at the arrow with a new respect.
Joe, can you touch my bow as I fire? Just near the blade. Very lightly, please. I want to see if your anti-mage title will help me. Who am I killing?
Joe stood closer and did as Chad had asked, pointing out the shaman directing the spell.
That guy. And we need to do this fast. That spell is about ready to go.
The gray orb had condensed and was now pearlescent and shimmering ominously.
Shh.
Chad drew the bow and pointed it off into the distance, causing Joe's eyes to widen in fright. Chad wasn't even aiming at the right shaman. Before he could call out, the string snapped forward and the arrow was away. It screamed like a burning man as it flew, arcing around a large swath of the battlefield as it flew much further than any arrow Joe had seen to this point. There was a shimmer in the air around the group of shaman, reminiscent of the ripples in a pond after a rock was thrown, as the arrow punched through a mana shield. It penetrated directly into the chest of the lead shaman, and multiple things happened at once. The beast's hands went to his new wound, his mouth silently screaming. He didn't get a chance to even try to stabilize the spell before it fell on him and exploded outward. The power invested in the spell moved away from the impact site like a shockwave, decimating anything in its path. Dozens, then hundreds of wolfmen were cut in half before the power faded, leaving a huge gaping hole where the enemy had previously been most clustered. Jackson looked over the annihilated area and nodded approvingly.
Nice shot.
Chapter 47. Solid understatement there, Jackson. Joe rolled his eyes as he looked over the area. Trees had been felled, and hundreds of wolfmen had been caught in the blast. The area was already refilling with targets, but the human defenders had gained a much-needed reprieve.
Actually, Chad shook his head in disbelief as he looked at his combat log. That shot did exactly 1.2 damage to him. Only the mana burn and silence actually made that happen. Also, physical damage was only done due to legend and anti-mage titular effects. Good lord, his protections must have been insane! If he wasn't a high-ranked general at least, I'd eat his ridiculous hat!
Chad pointed at Poppy. No one had anything to say about the arrow, but Joe pretended to brag by throwing a fist in the air and kissing his bicep. It was best not to panic during combat. The loss of the shaman started a shift among the wolfmen, who were probably forced to change tactics without the previous shaman's direction. Warriors became much more prevalent in their ranks, and their scouts also began using their ranged weapons more heavily, attempting to block the humans from creating a counter to their next attack. Long and heavy ramps on wheels were being pushed forward. Apparently, the warriors didn't have the same confidence in their ability to climb the walls as did their lighter brethren. Either way, they were coming, and the howling was reaching a fever pitch. Joe chanced a glance over the wall and got an arrow to the face for his trouble. He cursed in shock, then smiled when he saw that his shell had gained a rank from the life-threatening projectile.
Guys, I have no idea what I should be doing right now. Any suggestions would be really helpful.
Chad spoke up before any of his team could.
I'd suggest either getting off the battlements, my personal preference, or providing support up here for the ranged guys that are stuck up here. Your team seems to be mainly close-quarters fighters, and you are a healer. Go heal people that have arrows sticking out of them. You guys go and beat up those warriors when they crawl over the wall.
Not having better instructions, Joe agreed with this plan, and his team got to work while Chad returned to his post. Far from being berated for dereliction of duty, his excellent shot was praised, and he was clapped on the back as the story spread from the people who had witnessed it. On the battlements, Joe's team worked constantly to fend off the attacks, and Joe emptied his mana pool over and over to heal the people around him. Any time there was a lull, Joe would rehydrate people by using cleanse. He made sure to stick close to his group, not wanting to be separated if anything went wrong. Every once in a while, Joe would glance over at where the fighting was most vicious, the gate. There was a constant assault on that location that made the climbing hordes they were dealing with seem like a small scuffle. The air was thick with arrows flying in either direction, often colliding with each other and exploding into splinters. Spells were constantly humming through the air as well, and the land was becoming pockmarked and deformed. Somehow, the walls and gate were surviving the brutal battle, and that they still remained was a reminder that they were the only reason the humans had been able to entrench themselves here even this long. 4 hours into the battle, Joe's team was replaced on the wall by the next shift of defenders. His group stumbled down to the rest area and attacked the prepared food with the same viciousness they had been attacking wolfmen only a few minutes ago. Jackson looked around with deep bags under his eyes and coughed.
So, how's everyone doing today? Getting plenty of experience? If you think you are going to level, please let me know so I can get close and use the light as a quick shower. It seems that I am covered in filth.
Joe opened his notifications, noting with pleasure that he had increased cleanse and group heal to Apprentice 6, Mend to Apprentice 8, and Hidden Sense to Beginner 8. Then the experience began to flow in, and he moved closer to Jackson to help the man out. He had asked nicely, after all.
Experience, 7,381. Various activities. See full listing? You have reached character level 12. Ritual Architect experience gained, 2,190. Macro-micro ritual. See explanation? Specialization Ritual Architect has reached level 2. Your stats have increased due to class bonuses, plus 3 wisdom and intelligence, plus 2 perception and dexterity. Perception has reached 50 points. Calculating. Most focused sense. Sight. You now have 2 vision modes, standard and zoom 2 times. Find those tiny details that have always eluded you. All senses have increased drastically. Be careful out there. Pain hurts. Smells are smelly. Brush your teeth because you can taste all the nasty in your mouth. Oh, look, the howls are louder, too. Good luck ever sleeping again.
And hot water hot!
Joe mocked the snarky message. He chose not to see the listing for the first notice, but he did want to see the reasoning for the specialization experience. As a golden supernova washed out from him, he read over the notice and was intrigued. Apparently, a macro-micro was a type of ritual that let him enchant a lot of items with a single small enchantment. So this was the experience for the enchanted arrows. Excellent. Next, he tried out the zoom mode of his vision, getting an unfortunate close-up of Poppy's mustache. It was nice and fluffy from a distance, but this close, and right after eating, extra nasty. Joe coughed and glanced around the table. We have 8 hours until we are back on duty, unless, of course, we are getting close to being overrun. Any thoughts on that? Should we be doing anything, or do you want to just go to sleep? The vote came back quickly. Sleep won by a landslide. They were finishing up when a messenger ran up.
Joe, of the Wanderers Guild?
Yes, that's me. What's up?
Joe was on alert right away. The man seemed deadly serious.
Message for you, from A-10, given to me via Daisy. Joe, change the settings of your stupid butt building so that the fudging wolfmen stop benefiting from the deity-cursed boosted skill experience, you fudging poopstain.
The messenger coughed into his hand and looked around.
This part is from me. I censored a bit of the message, but I can give it to you exactly if needed.
No, I got it. I appreciate your candor. No one needs to be insulted in the form that message would have been.
Joe tossed the man a silver coin to show exactly how much he appreciated the censoring, getting a nod in return as he hurried off. Opening his settings, Joe selected the building and changed the benefits to allies only.
Totally forgot that was a thing. Hope I didn't screw us up too bad.
The others didn't seem to think there was going to be a large issue. At least, no one commented.
That was when he noticed that Poppy and Alexis were asleep, their faces inches from the food they had been attacking only a minute ago.
All right, let's go get some sleep.
Bard picked up Alexis in a princess carry and walked toward the sleeping areas. Jackson, seeing this, and also seeing the sleeping Poppy, followed suit and carried Poppy in the same manner. Joe made sure to get a screenshot for future taunting and blackmail. Settling in for a few hours of sleep, they drifted off to dreamland with their backs against each other for protection. Joe came to in pain, a strange man standing over him. This was becoming far too common for his liking. Why couldn't he wake up feeling extra nice with the lady standing over him? His head was itching in an infuriating manner, and the leer on the man's face seemed to suggest he knew exactly what was happening. He smirked, and in a low voice whispered, "A present from an admirer." He vanished from sight, and even Joe's high perception could only detect a faint shimmer as the man ran away. Yelling in pain as the itching transformed into needle-sharp digging at his scalp, Joe grabbed at his head and tried to figure out why exactly it hurt so bad. Feeling at the foreign object, it seemed that he once again had luscious hair. He tried to yank it off, but whatever this was, it was not going to budge. His mana and stamina began to plummet, and he saw that his new total was now fixed at a maximum of 100.
No!
Joe stood on wobbly legs and fell over from the pain just as a notification appeared.
Item, Narcissist's Folly, Cursed, counts as a wig. Incinerating in 3 seconds, effect from cursed title, Baldy. Remove this rare and expensive item if you want to retain possession of it. A new wave of pain hit Joe as the cursed item on his head burst into flames, badly scorching him before being completely consumed. He actually vomited from the pain before he finally generated enough mana to heal himself. Poppy was kneeling next to him as Joe regained focus, not getting too close thanks to the puddle of vomit covering his prone leader.
What in the world happened to you?
Groaning, Joe slowly stood and rested his head against the wall.
Heck! Pretty sure an assassin just tried to curse me with a nasty item. Gotta start sleeping in, protected areas again.
Sorry, man. You good to go, though? We just got called over to assist some of the guys from the Mage's College.
Poppy was edging away from him as watery bile crept down the slight slope they were on.
Yeah, I'm good.
Joe wiped his mouth and stood, quickly using cleanse to get the stomach acid out of his mouth. It also removed some tartar and plaque buildup. Then a little healing fixed up his encroaching gingivitis. He could put dentists out of business if he wanted to. Joe shook off the intrusive thought and hurried to catch up with the rest of his party. Getting back on the battlements revealed a wasteland around the town. Charred siege equipment, blood, bodies, and destroyed forest were the only things visible through the choking smoke that poured out of the remainder of the forest that was burning nearby. The only thing that had not changed from the start of the battle was the howling, and the cumulative bonuses on the wolfmen were starting to become more apparent. The opponents that charged toward them were faster, stronger, and harder to tire than they had any right to be. Now, getting into melee range with them was something that only the hardiest warriors could endure, and huge wolves were accompanying the wolfmen. They had begun hunting humans in packs. While refreshing exquisite shell, Joe realized that his team was now positioned above the gate, the place where the most serious fighting was happening and where the most injuries and deaths had occurred. A bit nervous, he steeled himself to fight all night if need be. Joe recognized a few of the mages from his time at the college, especially the silence mage in a purple robe that had walked him into the trial.
"Listen up! If you are just getting on duty," someone was yelling.
Joe focused in on him, not wanting to miss any pertinent details.
"We have a report that the enemy has a battering ram coming this way, and it is apparently designed to take down the gates of Ardania. These gates will not hold if the ram gets to have free rein at it. The army is busy on the west side of town. A huge wave of elites punched a hole in our defensive line. We are the last line of defense, and we have no reinforcements coming. We need to stay strong."
Joe's responsibilities didn't change much with his new position. He was on healing duty. His shadow manipulation had a range of about 10 feet right now, so taking out targets down on the ground wasn't really an option. He could spray acid over the wall, and likely would when the battering ram appeared, but until then, there were more effective countermeasures. The battle raged on, just as it had previously, if a little more intensely. Then something changed in the air, and tension whipped through the defenders. The battering ram had appeared, and it was like nothing Joe had ever seen before. The front of it was a giant metal wedge, and the entire structure looked vaguely like an upside-down boat. He couldn't see for certain, but he was almost positive that the bottom was filled with marching wolfmen who were now starting to run at the gate, where he was defending.
Oh, boy.
"Countermeasures!"
the man giving orders demanded. Chunks of earth started to rise from the land in front of the gate, creating an additional barrier for the ram. Though a good idea, the gesture was futile, because the entire battering ram was a ruse. As the front wedge hit the stone in front of the gate, the boat portion sprung forward and upward like a catapult, revealing dozens of elite wolfman warriors that used the sudden stairway to launch a sneak attack at the unprepared, soft targets. The mages and ranged fighters were cut through like a knife through hot butter as the elites started their grisly work. Only the melee fighters, supporting the ranged group, stopped the area from being completely overrun. Joe activated group heal and latched his healing waters onto the most hard-pressed fighters, constantly healing the wounds they were accruing. It took 10 minutes of intense fighting, but the elites were almost cleared from the battlements. Defying expectations, one of them broke through. Ignoring the wounds he took and focusing on the mages and healers, he was a whirlwind of rage and destruction. 3, 4 men died in as many seconds as the elite tore through them. His sights were on Joe now, and as the man prepared to defend himself by collecting shadows around the wolfman, 2 brutal attacks were absorbed by his now splintering shell. Just as Joe started to invest the mana into his shadows to knock the elite off the wall, his control failed him. He slammed both his palms into the unimpressed wolfman's chest, doing 0 damage. There should have been giant shadow hands that threw the elite backward and off the wall. Joe looked up and up and up into the eyes of the enraged wolfman as he swung his sword. In the periphery of his vision, Joe saw a purple-robed man smirking. "You have died. Calculating. You lose 2,400 experience. You have lost a character level. Time remaining until respawn. 18 in-game hours or 9 real-world hours. Time until respawn has been increased by 50% for being in an active war zone." Chapter 48. Joe stood slack-jawed, staring at the walls of his respawn room. When he started to move again, he flew into a rage.
"That silence mage! He murdered me! I'm going to hunt you down! I wanted that to go better! I wanted that to go better!"
Joe shouted the last sentence, slamming his fists into the wall. There was no pain, no bloody knuckles, no damage to the wall. This made him even angrier for some reason, and he full-on threw a tantrum like a 2-year-old. When he was standing again, he had calmed down, so he went over to the couch and pulled up information about what was going on in the game. To his shock and relief, there was a live broadcast of the battle that was happening right now. A few minutes in, he realized that watching it didn't make him feel any better. The war was not going well for the humans, even though it looked really cool. Everyone in the game looked like they were sprinting around, but it was only the 2-to-1 time dilation. You had the option to watch at regular speed, but Joe wanted to stay current. Since he had just woken up in the game, he watched for 5 hours before deciding to take a 3-hour nap. For the final hour, before he was able to return, the battle was starting to rapidly worsen for the humans. The full might of the Wolfman Nation was arrayed against them, and it seemed like nothing could help. Then, in a flash, the entire scope of the battle shifted. At first, the human side stiffened. Then the attacking wolfmen within a certain range stuttered, swiftly going still as well. That was the only warning before the wolfmen began to die. Joe had to rewind and watch the battle in slow motion to see what was happening, but when he saw it, he returned to the live feed and created a bowl of popcorn for himself. This was going to be good. The human king had joined the battle without fanfare, and Joe now understood why he was called a battle tyrant. He exuded an aura of killing intent, supplemented with mana that caused anything within the area he was fighting to simply give up and die. He moved around the battlefield at such high speeds that it was impossible to watch him fight at regular speed, let alone the doubled speed that Joe was subject to. Joe could only follow the king's movements by the trail of erupting gore that he left behind. There was only a single choice remaining for the wolfmen. The howling,
The sound that had been a constant in the battle for a full day began to taper off. Voice by voice, the call of the wolf began to vanish until there was only one voice remaining. That one single mournful howl grew and grew until the wolfman creating it stepped into view. Actually, was it a wolfman? It almost looked like a middle-aged guy that had eaten 20 too many cakes.
Henry, you sniveling politician. I, Aiden Silverfang, challenge you to single combat.
The regal voice that the man had been using suddenly shifted into furious animalistic snarls.
How dare you show your face? How dare you oppose me? I have taken the entirety of this land for my people, and you have only ever hidden behind your walls. Crawl away now, and you will live another day.
The king, who was apparently named Henry, didn't seem bothered by this speech. He turned toward the wolf and spoke in a sorrowful tone.
Aiden, why did it ever come to this? You were my favorite hunting companion, the creature I spent the most time with in this world besides my family. I have not launched an attack on you because there was simply no need to do so. My people were safe. Our city sustains itself. Why should I hunt you down when there was a chance that we could be together again? Friends again.
The thin veneer of sanity that Aiden had been shielding his true self with vanished, and his body began to bubble, twist, and morph. In a bare moment, he had settled into his battle form, and the beast he had become was enormous. Standing at least 10 feet tall and 4 feet wide, the wolfman warlord picked up two massive two-handed axes that were tossed to him by attendants and called a challenge to the king in a guttural voice that was obviously not used to the human tongue.
Come, meet. Let this farce end. My people are hungry for man flesh.
That's what she said, Joe whispered before shoveling more popcorn into his face.
We don't need to end it this way, Aiden.
The king was beginning to sound bored, of all things.
Let's have dinner, maybe go play in the forest. Enough of this foul tongue,
the warlord bellowed, prowling forward and preparing to attack.
I am no one's pet.
I never claimed that you were. That was your own pride and failures, and it seems that this is how you see yourself. So be it then. Come, dog.
Henry raised his sword and swung forward, the air pressure from the swing releasing a scouring line in the ground until just before it hit the warlord, who stepped aside and avoided the lightning fast attack. Then the battle between them started in earnest, and they were quickly shrouded in dust and free-floating particles of charged mana. Joe was disappointed for a bare moment. He wanted to see what was happening. Then he saw that the attack on the town had resumed far away from the kingly battle, and he began watching that. Just as it was getting interesting, the return portal to Eternia reappeared. He had completely forgotten to set an alarm. Joe scrambled to his feet and dove through the opening, reappearing inside the temple area of the Grand Ritual Hall. He got to his feet and started running to the entrance, not wanting to miss out on the epic battle between mythical beings. Just before he got out, a small notification that he had never seen before appeared in his vision. It was a golden aurora of sunlight surrounding a rainbow arching between two books. He opened the notification and read over the information, a smile appearing on his face as he did so.
Grand Ritual Hall Mana Supply, 900,852 out of 1,000,000. Would you like to activate the structure's ability, Knowledge Nova? With current mana supplies and this being the first scan, the structure will record all class details of beings within a 2-kilometer radius. Yes? No?
Yes, yes, yes!
Joe mashed the button. How likely was it that the king was ever going to be within range of the Nova again?
Set all class information of second tier and above as classified. Please.
His settings adjusted themselves, and Joe continued his run out of the building to see what was going to happen. He turned and saw that the beacon on the building was glowing even brighter than usual, washing out colors like an extraordinarily sunny day and causing rainbows to shimmer to life around the area. Beyond that, there was no indication of anything happening.
Good. That was good, right? Was it working?
He checked the mana levels of the building and saw that they were flatlining, so it was working?
Knowledge Nova scan complete. Information on 721 classes added.
Yes!
Server message. Joe's heart jumped into his throat as he saw that message.
The game was giving him away. Traitor.
The Wolfman Warlord Aiden has fallen. Racial boons removed from Wolfmen until a new leader has united their people. Wolfman morale lowered by 80% for 80 hours. Strike now, humankind. Strike down your enemy and prepare yourselves.
Holy guacamole! It's already over?
Joe ran to get onto the nearest rooftop, his improved stamina allowing him to scale the stairs inside and pull himself up to the dungeon-twisted roof before needing to breathe deep gulps of air.
It was true. The battle had been won.
The Wolfman army was scattering, their nation now leaderless. Cheers rose from the walls, then the town, then all around the town as citizens, travelers, and all able humans joined in. The king remained in the field, cutting down a huge swath of Wolfmen as they attempted to retreat into their territory once again. After a half hour of killing anything that came into the open, any Wolfman that was capable of moving had run, escaping into what remained of the woods. The king didn't pursue, choosing instead to start walking back toward town. Joe watched all this with amazement, not planning on taking his eyes off this magnificent sight any time soon. A large company of warriors and mages peeled off of the army, leaving the fortifications and riding out to the king, who went very still so that they could approach without suffocating. The group did indeed surround him, but not in a protective way. At least it didn't appear so from where he was standing. Joe slowly began to feel a deep unease. The people were in a triangle around the king, and one of the men in robes was bowing to the monarch while pulling an item out of a bag. Presenting his fist to the king, the robed man suddenly clapped his hands together. A blast, like a literal nuclear weapon, blocked all vision of what was transpiring. Joe, almost as a reflex, dumped all of his mana into creating a shell around his body, working to protect his head and chest first. Knowing that he only had seconds to find shelter to survive what was coming, he jumped off the wall, landing on his feet and running as fast as he could toward the only thing that he expected to survive the incoming blast, the ritual hall. The first shockwave still sent him flying forward when it caught up to him, but he angled himself in midair to shoot through the entrance to the grand ritual hall. A wave of fiery death followed the initial shockwave, roasting him alive. With a scream of pain and mental power he didn't know he had, he ordered the door of the building to slam shut behind him. Landing on the cool, suddenly dark floor, Joe gasped and wheezed. He was crispy, his skin blackened and charred. He was so glad that he hadn't gone to rejoin the front lines. As he worked to reverse the worst of the damage, a new notification appeared. Server alert. Regicide.
Chapter 49.
Weep in shock and outrage, O humans of Ardania. Your king has been slain by a cult of anarchists. Until a new king has been chosen, human men face a 50% reduction in earned experience.
I don't like that. This is not acceptable, Joe croaked, his lungs having been seared by the intense heat.
If he hadn't been able to resist elemental damage, he would have certainly been fried. As it was, Joe looked down and saw that his shell had failed, and one of his legs was missing completely. Skill increased. Aerial acrobatics. Beginner, 0. Hey, you did a flip with style this time. Debuff. Lost limb. Right leg. -100% walking speed. -50% jumping power. +10% hobbling speed. On the plus side, you can always change your name to Eileen, IHOP, or Stumpy. Would you like to change your name now? Yes. No. You have met the qualifications to become a pirate captain. Would you like to assign your secondary profession now? Yes. No.
No!
What the heck was the system trying to do to him right now? Forming a pair of crutches from the shadows around him, Joe stood up and swung himself to the closed door. It had been a few minutes, but maybe it would still be best to open the door slowly. Thoughts of explosive depressurization during house fires filled his mind. He needn't have worried, though. The door slid smoothly upward, revealing a landscape free of anything but flat dirt. The trees, houses, and northern section of the wall were gone or buried. There were no signs of life that Joe could see, and as he moved along his chosen path, it was obvious that most of the people caught in the blast or shockwave had not survived the experience. There were a few exceptions, but those moaning and charred folk that had invested nearly exclusively in Constitution were assuredly regretting it right now. Joe kept moving, intent on his newest goal. With their enemies scattered and his people fallen, there was only one thing for him to do. It took him a solid 35 minutes to find Ground Zero. It was only thanks to the ground being even more damaged than the surroundings at that point that he was able to do so in the first place.
I wonder how toxic the air is right now. Cleanse is gonna get a workout.
Then he saw what he had been looking for. At least, he was pretty sure it was. Joe picked up the item on the ground, staring at it intently until he gained the information he needed. Left foot of King Henry. This is all that remains of a great, powerful, and loving king. Return it to the queen for a reward so that she will not need to mourn over an empty casket.
Well, that's pretty dark. I really hope that I am still within the time limit.
Joe set the half-melted foot back on the ground and centered himself. Pushing out his mana, he moved in the required forms. With his palms outward, he pushed the spell into the foot.
Resurrection!
Golden power flowed out of him and into the remains. Unlike when he had used it on a traveler and a portal appeared for them to walk through, now the power coalesced into a shining silhouette of a man and slowly faded away. It left behind a startled face that didn't appear to be much older than Joe, but that face was swiftly hidden behind a liquid metal that poured up over the man and trapped him in armor once more.
Who are you, and what just happened?
The king seemed a bit confused.
Where did the venerable Lord Rogers go? He held out a box, and then...
Server alert. Rejoice and make merry. The king is alive. Long live the king. Reductions and debuffs towards humans for the loss of the king are revoked.
I died?
The king seemed a bit out of it still.
You saved me, then. You, an unknown level 11 man, saved me.
After a quiet laugh, the king reached into nowhere and pulled out a small token. He pressed it onto Joe's forehead, and the token melded to his skin, leaving a small shining insignia.
You are marked by my hand. Let none of my people say a word against you, lest they speak against the king and crown directly. When you are able, please come to the palace for a chat. We will get you a proper reward.
Reputation increased. Your reputation with the royal family, royal guard, human guards, and loyal citizens of Ardania has reached new heights. You are now to be treated as extended family, no matter your actual reputation score.
Thank you, Your Majesty. Joe bowed as deeply as he could manage while using his crutches, excitement gathering in his chest. There is nothing more for me to say. Good luck, and I will see you soon, Joe.
The king's form blurred, and Joe was held in place with an intense fear until the battle tyrant had vanished from the area.
Aten is going to lose his dang mind, Joe chuckled evilly and started hobbling back to the decimated town.
It was going to be a good couple of days. Maybe he would take a vacation. Maybe he would go hide for a few months. Either way sounded good.
It took a full day for everyone in the guild to come back, so after the majority of his guild respawned, they joined the crusade to hunt down and slay the remaining wolfmen. Joe spent that time working to grow a new leg and had needed to put 3 skill points and 4 days into learning how to reconstruct his body properly, even though he had the requisite skill. It was a painful process, as nerves were regrown inch by inch, but he needed his leg. Nothing to do but grit his teeth and bear with it. The information he had gained as his healing skill crossed into the student ranks would make any surgical resident jealous to the extreme. Not that they didn't have the same or better information. No, it was how clear the information was all of the time. There was no forgetting this for him. Need to know something? Boom, right there in the old noggin. 2 days after his leg had been fully regrown, the long-awaited notification arrived. Quest complete. Shatter a people. The human nation has prevailed against the wolfman tribes. Congratulations to you all, but especially to the participants. The top 3 players who contributed to the overall success of this quest will gain a noble title and a gift of land. In order of contribution, please congratulate Joe Antimage, Aten Commander, and Back Attack Beastbane. You have each earned the maximum reward possible. Reward, 50,000 experience, 100,000 gold to your guild treasury, and 10,000 gold to your personal account. Anyone with the title Racial Traitor has been given a maximum warlock title which can only be cleared away by the king, queen, or 20 deaths. These people will now glow red, and no penalty will be issued for their death. Root out the traitors amongst your people, because this world is going to become much more dangerous. Joe yelped as an incredibly dense aurora appeared around him and suffused his body. He shot up to character level 15 and now had 15 points to spend on his characteristic points, but more exciting to him was that his leg was back to normal. He had regrown it, but something had been missing. Something that made it feel like this wasn't his real leg. That feeling was gone. He got up and jumped for joy, joining in the shouts of glee from all around the camp.
Humans, please focus carefully on this next message.
The ominous tone of the message forced calm upon everyone, and they waited with bated breath for what would come next.
Server alert. Congratulations to all humans. You have destroyed your determined racial enemy and are now able to move on to the next stage of the game. Thanks to your actions, humanity will survive. For now. Let me be the first to say it. Congratulations on passing the tutorial.
That everything up until now was the tutorial?
Joe wasn't the only person to say these words aloud, and he wouldn't be the last.
What in the heck was going on?
Players now have 1 month before continent restrictions are relaxed, and your continent and humanity as a whole will connect with 2 more races. At that time, you will individually need to choose a race to join in the war against the other. Good luck. And make wise choices. Your future allies will help determine your fate. Cal.
Epilogue.
Joe,
Hearing the masked man's voice brought Joe out of his coffee and puzzle break. It also interrupted his hour of training, meaning that he would need to start over in order to advance his characteristics that had not gone over 50. Before Joe could decide how to react to the intrusion, the next words entered his ears, and he perked up excitedly.
"We've got him."
"Are you sure?" Joe didn't even wait for an answer before packing up and downing all the remaining coffee in his cup. He was on his feet by the time the man responded.
"Affirmative. Matches the description."